Blog Talk Radio.
Today's weather we're looking at right now, 79 degrees.
Well, it's already warm at 10 o'clock in the morning, and we're looking at a high today of 86 with a chance of rain. It was thundering and dark a few minutes ago, but now the sun's coming out and looks like we may get some on and off showers today. Right? So, and we're looking at showers the rest of the week until Saturday. Now, today's word of the day is obtain. 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 Obtain is a verb, and it means to gain or attain, usually by planned action or effort. The second meaning is to be generally recognized or established or prevail is tain. To gain or attain, usually by planned action or effort. Attain. Obtain. I'm sorry. Obtain. And again, it's a word. Many of us have used obtain a lot in our vocabulary, and that's a good word, obtain. All right. Now, I was planning on doing like a part two of the show from yesterday about we can't pray to God in public, but transgenders can be seen in public and heard in public and all this other stuff in public. But today I'm going to get away from that because I wanted to do a show today on something that I never known before. And I learned this just last night that the and I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but did you know that the Lone Ranger was a black man? The Lone Ranger. I mean, I remember, you know, and we're going to discuss the truth of the Lone Ranger, okay? He's a black man from Oklahoma. He was the first United States Deputy Marshal, okay? And what I'm saying is that I you know, it was always known that the and I'm sorry, you guys, I know you hear typing in the background, but that's going on. But I never knew that the Lone Ranger was a black man. I mean, all while we were growing up, we see the Lone Ranger, we see the episode of the Lone Ranger on TV on Saturdays, and the Lone Ranger and Tonto. And, well, you know, the Lone Ranger was a white man with a mask. Okay? They depicted him as a white man with a mask. But in all truth, the Lone Ranger was a black man named Bass Reeves from Oklahoma. And I got a great article about him that I pulled up, and you guys can go look at it if you want to. It's on the website legendsofamerica.com, okay? And they talk about Bass Reeves. And I'm going to read this article to you guys because it's very informative, and this may be something that you may win $1 million off of one day. Somebody may ask you the question. You can have $1 million if you can answer this question. Who was the original Lone Ranger? And you can say Bass Reeves, and if his name is spelled Bass, like bass fish, Reeves, Reeves. Okay. Bass Reeves were born to slave parents in 1838 in Paris, Texas. Max Reeves would become the first black U.S. deputy marshal west of the Mississippi River and one of the greatest frontier heroes in our nation's history. Owned by a man named George Reeves, a farmer and politician, Bass took the surname of his owner, like other slaves of the time. Working alongside his parents, Reeves started out as a water boy until he was old enough to become a field hand. A tall young man at 6'2", with good manners and a sense of humor, George Reeves later made him his personal companion and body servant when Bass was older. When the Civil War broke out, Texas sided with the Confederacy, and George Reeves went into battle, taking Bass with him. It was during these years of the Civil War that Bass parted company from his master. Some say because Bass beat up George after a dispute in a card game. Others believe that Bass heard too much about the freeing of slaves and simply ran away. In any event, Bass fled to Indian territory, where he took refuge with the Seminole and Creek Indians. While in Indian territory, Reeves honed his firearm skills, becoming very quick and accurate with a pistol. Though Reeves claimed to be only fair with a rifle, he was barred on a regular basis from competitive turkey shoots. Freed by the Emancipation Proclamation in 1863 and no longer a fugitive, Reeves left Indian territory and bought land near Van Buren, Arkansas. I know I said that he was from Oklahoma, but this guy really was from Texas, but he ended up in Arkansas, becoming a successful farmer and rancher. A year later, he married Nellie Jenny from Texas and immediately began to have a family, raising 10 children on their homestead, 5 girls and 5 boys. The family lived happily on the farm. However, Reeves' life as a contented farmer was about to change when Isaac Parker was appointed judge for the Federal Western District Court at Fort Smith, Arkansas, on May 10, 1875. At the time Parker was appointed, Indian Territory had become extremely lawless, as thieves, murderers, and anyone else wishing to hide from the law took refuge in the territory that previously had no federal or state jurisdiction. One of Parker's first official acts was to appoint U.S. Marshal James F. Fagan as head of the some 200 deputies he was then told to hire. Fagan heard of Bass Reeves' significant knowledge of the area, as well as his ability to speak several tribal languages, and soon recruited him as a U.S. deputy. The deputies were tasked with cleaning up Indian territory and, on Judge Parker's orders, bring them in alive or dead. Working among other lawmen that would also become legendary, such as Hick Thomas, Bud Ledbetter, and Bill Thigman, Reeves began to ride the Oklahoma range in search of outlaws. Covering some 75,000 square miles, the United States Court at Fort Smith was the largest in the nation. Depending on the outlaws for whom he was searching, a deputy would generally take with him from Fort Smith a wagon, a cook, and a Native American posse man. Often they rode to Fort Reno, Fort Sill, and Anadarko, a round trip of more than 800 miles. Though Reeves could not read or write, his effectiveness in bringing back the criminals. Before he headed out, he would have someone read him the warrants and memorize which was which. When asked to produce the warrant, he never failed to pick out the correct one. An imposing figure, always riding on a large white stallion. Listen to this now. An imposing figure at 6'2", always riding on a large white stallion, Reeves began to earn a reputation for his courage and success at bringing in or killing many desperados of the territory. Also wearing a large hat, Reeves was usually a spiffy dresser with his boots polished to a gleaming shine. He was known for his politeness and courteous manner. However, When the purpose served him, he was a master of disguises and often utilized aliases. Cowboy, farmer, gunslinger, or outlaw himself, he always wore two Colt pistols, butt forward for a fast draw. Ambidextrous, he rarely missed his mark. Leaving Fort Smith often with a pocket full of warrants, Reeves would often return months later, hurting a number of outlaws charged with crimes ranging from bootlegging to murder. Paid in fees and rewards, he would make a handsome profit before spending a little time with his family and returning to the range once again. The tales of his captures are legendary, filled with intrigue, imagination, and courage. One of such occasions, Reeves was pursuing two outlaws in the Red River Valley near the Texas border. Gathering a posse, Reeves and the other men set up camp some 28 miles from where the two were thought to be hiding at their mother's home. After studying the terrain and making a plan, he soon disguised himself as a tramp, hiding the tools of his trade, handcuffs, pistol, and badge, under his clothes. Setting out on foot, he arrived at the house wearing an old pair of shoes, dirty clothes, carrying a cane, and wearing a floppy hat complete with three bullet holes. Upon arriving at the home, he told a tale to a woman who answered the door that his feet were aching after having been pursued by a posse who had put the three bullet holes in his hat. So asking for a bite to eat, she invited him in, and while he was eating, she began to tell him of her two young outlaw sons, suggesting that the three of them should join forces. Feigning weariness, she consented to let him stay a while longer. As the sun was setting, Reeves heard a sharp whistle coming from behind the house. Shortly after, the woman went outside and responded with an answering whistle, two riders rode up to the house, talking at length with her outside. The three of them came inside, and she introduced her sons to Reeves. After discussing their various crimes, the trio agreed that it would be a good idea to join up. Bunking down in the same room, Reeves watched the pair carefully as they drifted off to sleep, and when they were snoring deeply, handcuffed the pair without waking them. When early morning approached, he kicked the boys awake and marched them out the door, followed for the first 3 miles by their mother, who cursed Reeves the entire time. He marched the pair the full 28 miles to the camp where the posse men waited. Within days, the outlaws were delivered to the authorities and a $5,000 reward collected. Can you believe that, guys? A $5,000 reward was collected for bringing in these two men. He collected $5,000. That was in the 1800s. I mean, this guy was rich. Here's some more. One of the high points of Reeves' career was apprehending a notorious outlaw named Bob Dozier. Dozier was known as a jack-of-all-trades when it came to committing truck crimes, as they covered a wide range from cattle and horse rustling to holding up bank stores and stagecoaches to murder and land swindles. Because Dozier was unpredictable, he was also hard to catch, and though many lawmen had tried to apprehend the outlaw, none were successful until it came to Reeves. Dozier eluded Reeves for several months until a lawman tracked him down in the Cherokee Hills. After refusing to surrender, Reeves killed Dozier in an accompanying gunfight on December 20th, 1878. Okay. So, let me go see. So, over 35 years that Baz Reeves served as a deputy United States Marshal, he earned his place in history by being one of the most effective lawmen in Indian Territory, bringing in more than 33,000 outlaws, tamed the lawless territory, killing some 14 men during his service. Reeves always said that he never shot a man when it was not necessary for him to do so in the discharge of his duty to save his own life. There is strong evidence that Baz Riggs was the basis of the now classic radio and television series The Lone Ranger. With many similarities between the character and the real legend, despite the difference in their skin color. When comparing the two, not only are they similar with their shooting skills, the horse they rode, and the fact that they both had a Native American helping them in the hunt for outlaws, but it is reported that Reeves gave out silver coins, just as the Lone Ranger character gave out silver bullets. It is also noted that many of the outlaws Reeves captured wound up in Detroit's federal prison, where the Lone Ranger radio show originated. Now, that's the end of this article. But that was fascinating to me. I don't know about you, and you may say, Frank, you done lost your. You know, lost your mind talking about this on your show. But this is some American history. This is something that, you know, sometimes we all say that I didn't know that about certain things. Well, the Lone Ranger was always, I thought, you know, from the TV show and stuff that we watched on Saturday morning, the Lone Ranger was a white man with a mask, okay, that covered his eyes and part of his nose. But the real Lone Ranger, which is this black guy, he didn't wear a mask. He did ride a white stallion. He did wear a big floppy hat. But he was a black man. And I think that this is something to be proud of as a African American, that, you know, we can say that the Lone Ranger was a black man. You can say that anywhere you go, anybody you know. I probably told 6 people before I got on the show. I probably asked 6 people if they knew that the Lone Ranger was a black man. The original Lone Ranger was a black man. And again, he did ride a white horse, a white stallion, they say. And he was a deputy marshal. I never knew that the Lone Ranger was a deputy marshal. I don't remember the Lone Ranger, the TV show, of him having the thing they wear on their shirts, a badge. I never knew him to wear a badge. And for television to depict the Lone Ranger as a white man, why would they do that? Why would they depict the Lone Ranger as a white man? I mean, this guy was from 1838. I know they knew that it was a black man who was known as the Lone Ranger. But they weren't going to put a black man in this kind of role on TV. I guess that was the reasoning, right? So they changed it out. And they put a white man in there. But they had him ride a white horse. They had him all the similarities of this black man. He rode a white horse. He didn't give out silver bullets, but he gave out silver coins. And this guy, Baz Riggs, had money. He was rich. He was, I mean, I call him a legal bounty hunter. legally he was a deputy marshal, so he could go out and look for these killers and robbers and find them and bring them back. He also knew the Indian Territory because he grew up in the Indian Territory, and he also knew several Indian languages because he grew up with the Indians. And he had an Indian companion. I guess our companion, an Indian companion that was with him, that he called him a Native American, that was with him, that, you know, just like they depicted in the show. With what's the Indian name in the show? Tonto. Tonto was the Indian name in the show. you know, it's funny to me, I guess, because take a black man that had this kind of power. He was a deputy marshal. And, you know, the Indians didn't fear him because he wasn't a white man. Okay? The Indians didn't fear him because he wasn't a white man. And the Indians didn't fear him because he grew up in that territory. And he knew their language. So, you know, he was the perfect fit for this type of job. Bass Reeves, a black man, he is the original Lone Ranger. Hey, guys, I had to do this show. I don't know if you can tell by my voice that I'm smiling the whole time. I'm just in awe of this. And how, you know, people say, Frank, how did you find out? How did you find this information out? Well, there's an older white gentleman that works with me that watched a show called Legends and Lies, and he watched it on Sunday. He came back to work today and told me and asked me if I knew. He said Legends and Lies was the show that he watched, and it was about the Lone Ranger. I was like, okay, about the Lone Ranger. And then he said, did you know that the Lone Ranger was a black man? I was like, no, hell no, I didn't know the Lone Ranger was a black man. So from there, I started to research. He told me his name and everything, and I started to research it, and it's true. The original Lone Ranger was a black man. Hey, thanks, guys. That's all I have for the show today. Thank you guys for tuning in. Join me tomorrow. I'm going to have a great show for you tomorrow, so don't miss it. Same time, same place, right here on the Frank Williams Show. I'll see you guys in about 23 and a half hours.
This is that ice cold Michelle fight for that white gold. This one for them hood girls, them good girls, straight masterpiece. Styling, wildin', living it up in the city. Got Chuck's on with Saint Laurent. Gotta kiss myself, I'm so pretty. I'm too hot. Call the police and the fireman. I'm too hot. Make a dragon wanna retire, man. I'm too hot. Say my name, you know who I am. I'm too hot. And my band bought that money. Break it down. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah.